Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you here. Let's begin by standing together and turning to hymn number. Father, we praise you that your eye is on the sparrow. We know you watch each of us. We praise you for your love and your mercies, your goodness, which is new every morning. We praise you for the joy of gathering together with your people as we worship you together and seek your face, hear your word proclaimed, draw closer to you and to one another. Father, you know the need of each heart here today, and we pray that you would touch each life, minister where it's needed, comfort, strengthening, challenge, what each of us needs today. We pray your spirit would drive it right home, and it will accomplish the perfect will for which that word is sent. Father, we are grateful to be here today, and we pray that you would bless this hour, move and work in our midst, and may all that is said and done bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Read from Psalm 107. I have two passages today I'm reading. The other one is Isaiah 25. We'll get to that a little later. But to begin with, we're going to read from Psalm 107, verse 1 through 32. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you that we can be in your house on the Lord's Day. We thank you that we can rejoice in your goodness and grace to us. How we praise you and thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy each day. And Lord, you know each one of us. You know our hearts. You know how we feel this morning. And we pray that you'll strengthen us and guide us and help us. May we look to you for all that we need. We do pray, our Father, for our church. We pray that we might continue on and be able to serve you faithfully. We pray that you'll continue to bless each one with the particular needs that they might have. We pray this morning for Carol. She's not with us. We pray that you'll be with her and her sister-in-law and have your own precious way there. Help her to be a comfort. Be with Tom Nichols as he's going to be having this new procedure about dialysis, and we pray that that will all work out for the very best. And Lord, there's so many others that have various needs. You know our hearts. And we just thank you so much that you love us, that you care for us, that you're with us to give us the strength that we need. Comfort the hearts of those who are grieving today and meet the need of every heart. We just thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy. We do pray for our missionaries today. We ask you to be with them and bless them in the work that they're doing in their various fields, that they might be able to reach many with the gospel, and that there might be many that would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray your blessings upon us today. Lead us, guide us, help us in all that we do, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 25. We'll be looking at this shortly. The three tenses of praise. This is a praise message this morning. We want to praise the Lord. We read in Psalm 107 at the beginning of the service, the beautiful psalm. We find repeated four times the phrase, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." The heart of the psalmist was filled with praise and thanksgiving to God, and he desired to hear others praise God in the same way for his goodness and for his grace in their lives. Perhaps he had heard the complaining and grumbling of the people. You remember, the children of Israel had a habit of complaining about everything, didn't they? And so often I think that affects us as well. Sometimes we, you know, like this morning, I took my coat off because it's so humid in here that, you know, it's easy to be displeased. But how much better it is to give God the glory for all that he does. So he cries out to us, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for all of his blessings to us. We have so much to be thankful for." Certainly we should lift up our hearts to him in praise for all that he does. As we come to our text this morning here in Isaiah 25, we find the prophet speaking of a hymn of praise. Three different parts that we see here that covers the three times of our lives. We have the praise to the Lord for past deliverances. We have for present blessings and for the future and all that we have. All the three times we have in our lives, God is always there. Let's read this, since it's only 12 verses. So I'll read the whole chapter and then we'll go back and look at it. "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. And in the mountains shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. And the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. So we find here the prophet Isaiah, is praising God for all of these things that he does for us. And he starts off with, for past deliverances. In this section of Isaiah, it is speaking about the future kingdom of Christ. I know my Scofield Bible says, triumphs of the kingdom age. Okay? And, I mean, it doesn't mean that that's true because Scofield says it, but, you know, it's there. So, anyway, it's talking about in that day. And whenever you see in that day in the scriptures, it's usually talking about end times. And here, he's looking back on his life and realizing all that God has done for him. And here we have in the future kingdom, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. So we have the blessing here that will be enjoyed by the redeemed throughout eternity. Those who are praising him are looking back at all the Lord has done for them in the past. And it talks about here in the beginning, starts out with, O Lord, thou art my God. That's something to think about, isn't it? He's not everybody else's God, but he is my God. You see? It's a personal thing. That's where we need to have a personal faith in the Lord God himself and in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, thou art my God. I am trusting in you. He revealed himself to us in his word and in his son. You remember the beginning of the Gospel of John? It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So God has revealed himself to us in his word. What would we know about God if we did not have this book? Very little, right? Oh, the heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, we see something. There must be someone who's done this. Some people don't seem to understand that. But someone had to put the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon and all the rest, right? Where would it come from? And yet, we have it clearly in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's difficult to understand about that? Right? It's there, very clear for us. God has revealed himself to us in his word and in his son. And he has provided salvation for us from all of our sins. You know, we remember reading over in Genesis about Adam and Eve and how they disobeyed God, right? They did not follow his instructions and they fell into sin. And now we all are sinners, right? We are sinners. And he provided salvation from sin. And so that we could have eternal life. He has given us a personal relationship with him. Isn't that wonderful? To know God and to know that he's always with us, right? And wherever we are, God's there too, right? And we can talk with him, we can think of him, we can enjoy his presence. And so we have here all of these things that he has revealed himself. He's provided salvation. He has given us a personal relationship with him. And he has given us eternal life. He said that we could be saved by the grace of God. We can have eternal life. We don't have to die, you know. When we leave this old world, we go to be with the Lord, don't we? Huh? That's something to rejoice about. And to think about how God is going to help us through all these things. He's given us eternal life through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood that he shed for us. So we see here, Thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. He provides. He provides for us. He has said, Thou hast done wonderful things. You know, if we stop and think what God has done for us, what he does daily, you know, all of the wonderful blessings that we have and knowing him as our Savior, our Redeemer, to have the security. We don't have to worry, do we, about what's going to happen tomorrow or next day, right? We are secure in him. We don't have to fret and worry, and yet we do. Isn't that something? Think of that. You know, we need to stop and come back to the scriptures and think, yes, God is with me. Yes, I am secure in him, and I don't have to worry about anything, right? Well, you say, yeah, you're naive. I know I am. But anyway, it doesn't do any good to worry, does it? How much difference does it make in your life when you worry about something? Does it change anything? I think we'd be better off just to take God's word at face value and follow what he says for us to do and be secure in him and not be fretting about everything that comes in life. You know? Now, if it's something that we can do to improve something, okay, that's great. But at the same time, there's no need to sit around and fret and worry and be stressed over these things. And he provides for us the safety to keep on going in this world in which we live. They worshiped him here for his faithfulness. Notice that. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. I know this isn't Thanksgiving, but I enjoy these kind of messages from the scriptures, thinking about how good God is to us. They worshiped him for his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God our Father. Morning by morning, thy mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Isn't that true? And he is absolutely faithful. We may fail him, but he never fails. He's not going to turn us aside. He's always faithful. It says in Psalm 118, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Boy, that's an understatement, isn't it? Huh? How much confidence do you have in your fellow man? Wow. But anyway, we can put our confidence in God and know that he will not fail us. He's always there. He's always faithful in every area. And he is the truth. It says, thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no nothing in him that's not true. There's nothing false in him. He's genuine and real. We can trust the word because he does not lie. The promises of God. Think of all the many promises that we have in the scriptures that God has given to us, and he will always be there. I always think of old Abraham. You remember Abraham and Sarah? God promised them a child, you know. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. 25 years. Now, what would you think if God had promised you a child, and you had waited, I don't know, a year or two, right? You say, well, what, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? And yet they waited and waited and waited. And God finally gave them exactly the one that he said he was going to give. He fulfilled his word. And he always does, even though we don't understand. And we're prone to be anxious about things, aren't we? He is a powerful defender to us. Notice in verse 4. This is a wonderful verse. I underlined it in my Bible. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He's a powerful defender. He's the one who's with us no matter who we are and how weak we may be. The poor, the needy, the distressful, those who are in the storm. Think of all these storms we've had recently, right? My goodness, I'm so glad that we live in a place where they don't seem to be as bad. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know why that is. But anyway, some places, these terrible, terrible storms that come. But it says that God is a refuge from the storm. We can look to him, and he is with us no matter what. A shadow from the heat. We were just complaining about the humidity, right? And yet God is here with us to help us through all these things, whatever comes in life. You know, he didn't promise us a rose garden, as the song says, right? No, we can't just parade through life and never suffer at all. We all have our burdens to bear, and yet the Lord is with us. He's the destroyer of the strong, it says in verse 3. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Even those who don't want to follow God, they still have to stop and think, right? And realize that He is the powerful one. And we as believers, it's as if God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Who is it? We complain about those who have different ways of thinking, different ideas, and yet if God is for us, then we don't have to worry about them. He's the silencer of strangers. It says down in verse 5, "Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat of the shadow of a cloud, branch of the terrible one shall be brought low." So God is able to defend us against those who are unreasonable, the strangers, those who would cause all kinds of difficulty. Those who do not know Him will be brought to silence. They will have no excuse for their rebellion against Him. Those who trust in God will be delivered. Those who trust in themselves will fail. Praise the Lord for all of the past deliverances that He gives to us. Then we praise the Lord for present provisions. Present provisions. Verse 6, it says, "In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things." You know, fat's supposed to be bad for you, right? And I guess it probably is physically. But in the Bible, it talks a lot about fat and prosperous. You know, everything is great. And God makes it right. He says here, talking about this feast that they're going to have in that day, a feast of wine on the lees, of marrow, and all of these things that He's going to give us, a feast of fat things. Physical provisions, also spiritual blessings He's going to pour out upon us and supply our needs. We say, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? And He does. He feeds us many times more than we really need. But anyway, wine here, of course, speaks of joy. The Bible speaks of that. Of course, we're not supposed to be drunk with wine. It says that. But be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? But many places in the Bible, it does speak of the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. And so that's what He's talking about here. God provides joy. He provides strength. He provides help. And all that we would need in feasting on the things of God and His promises to us, sustain us. Verse 8 says, "He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it." Look with me at the next chapter, 26, verse 3. Chapter 26, verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." So here, we have not yet seen death swallowed up in victory. We know it's still very present, isn't it? Some of these days it's going to be done away, but we shall. He has promised. And Paul quotes this verse over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, Paul speaks of this very verse. "I was swallowed up death in victory." In chapter 15 and verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's going to swallow up death. Death is the last enemy, isn't it? He's going to swallow up death in victory, and we therefore can continue to serve him faithfully, day by day, until he calls us unto himself. When a believer leaves this world, we do not despair, because we know we shall see him again. That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise the Lord for his present provisions. He's always with us in this life now and in the future as we look forward to that. So we praise the Lord, lastly, for future blessings. Back to our text again in verse 9. It says, and it shall be said in that day, this is the future, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We are waiting for the Lord, aren't we? We're looking forward to him coming back and taking us to be with himself. And so we have this wonderful truth. We are waiting. And in that day, we'll be watching and waiting, looking until he comes to be with us and to take us home. So we find here the defeat of death and sorrow. We've seen that already. Swallowing up death in victory. Look over in Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and see what it says here, talking about swallowing up death in victory. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. What wonderful words that is, looking to the future, what's going to take place, and God is faithful to fulfill everything that he has promised. We see the realization here of God's presence and his full salvation. We have waited for him, and now he's going to be with us. We're looking forward to that. And look with me, if you would, Zephaniah, little book here, 3:17. Zephaniah, I always have a little trouble finding these minor prophets. But anyway, we'll get there. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. You think about that? God rejoicing over us with singing. Wonder what it sounds like. What kind of? It must be a bass baritone or something. What do you think? Huh? At any rate, so wonderful to think about that. He is mighty. He will save us. He will rejoice over us. He will rest in his love, and he will sing with us. It speaks of that over in the book of Revelation. They're going to have the song of Moses and of the Lamb. There will be singing, rejoicing in all of these things, realizing the great provision that God has given to us. And then we see the destruction of God's enemies. In verse 10, it says, "For in this mountain," I'm back in my text, Isaiah 25, "For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill." Now, of course, Moab here was one of the countries there that was against Israel, and is taken here as a representative, showing the pride and arrogancy that they had and how that God is going to overthrow them and bring them to a place of humility. So Moab is known for her pride. She felt that the works of her hands, her cleverness, would protect her, but it will not. You can't depend upon yourself. You have to look to the Lord for the help you need. God's enemies will be brought down and destroyed. And those who know him, trust him as Savior, will be able to rejoice. Even in that day when he is reigning supremely and the enemies are all destroyed. Those who have rejected him will be judged, condemned. It's sorry to say that, but it's true. Those who will not yield to the Lord will experience judgment and eternal damnation. That's a difficult thing to think about, isn't it? And yet we need to be good witnesses to those that we know, that we might be able to help them to come to Christ while they can. So is your heart filled with praise this morning? Think about all that we have in the Lord and all that we have to look forward to, you know? Thinking about that, all the future blessings. If we have received Jesus as our Savior, then we are the privileged children of God. Not because of ourselves, but because of him. And we have taken him at his word, we have believed in him, and we trust him to take us and to save us and keep us according to his word. So I hope and pray that each one of us this morning knows the Lord Jesus as Savior. If there's any doubt in your mind about it, then we'd like to talk with you and help you to understand, to put your faith and trust in him and him alone for your salvation. And we as believers, let's rejoice. Rejoice and praise the Lord for all of his goodness and his wonderful works. All that he's doing for us day by day. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and glorified for all of his blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your word to our hearts this morning. Help us to truly look to you and find the strength we need to keep going and to live for you and serve you in the way that we should. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in his name. Amen.